you very much. What a precious, precious family. Amen. I'm telling you, our hearts are knit together, brother. I'm glad they're knit together. No doubt about it. I told him last night, if he went out to eat last night and does not give me the receipt so we can reimburse him, I told him I was going to take him outside and smack down on him. To me, I worded that wrong. It'd have to be I'd smack up on you. You know what I'm saying? Have y'all were thinking that with me. Would you raise your hand? Sure. I want you to pray about something. We're going to be searching and so on, but I've spoken to him about this. We're going to try our best to get Brother Otis and his dear family back, and we're going to try to get his coach, Coach Bobby Bowden, to come. I want you to pray with me on that God will open that door if he wants us to do that. I remember hearing Coach Mark Richt during the interview on the movie Facing the Giants, who was on the coaching staff with that team, saying that his coach, Coach Bobby Bowden, after the year that they won the national championship, that he went around the room and asking the coaches, saying, "We're national champions. How do you feel?" And said the coaches were saying, "Well, we're national champions, but I don't feel any different." And Coach Bowden said something along this line: "You want me to tell you why you don't feel any different?" He said, "Because that's not the big one." He said, "The big one's when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior." Now you say, "Jody, you're thinking big. Pray for us, will you? We've got an open door here, Brother Otis, you know what I mean? And I dare say that whoever he tells to do something, that they'll probably say, 'Yes, sir,' all these kind of things." Yes. How many football coaches do we have here with us? Would you raise your hand? I know my dad's here. How many other football coaches? We've got Andy up here, others. Good. If we get him here, I'm going to be relying on you to help us get the word out. And I think it'd be great, don't you? Wonderful. After this service, I'm sure that many of you would like to see the national championship ring. Maybe y'all would like to see that ring. Would you raise your hand? He's got it. And so don't try to put it on, because if you do, it'll be something like this. You know what I mean? But he's got his jerseys out there, some of the jerseys, and all these kind of things, and his football helmet, and some pictures. And you see him in uniform out there. And speaking as a former quarterback, I know I'm short, but I was a quarterback. When I see a picture of him in his uniform, I'm like, I'd sure love to have somebody like that, you know, protecting me. There's no doubt about that. God bless him. The Lord's going to use you, brother. He already is. What a great, great open door he's given to him. Wouldn't you agree with that? No doubt about that. By the way, don't rib him now for Tennessee beating him in 1998. Don't you do that. Because he was on that team and so on. I don't have anything to preach. I'm just talking to you today. Yeah, good. Coach Weston's here. Yes, sir. Good to see you. And that'll be good. I want you to take your Bible. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I may not get through this today for time's sake, but that's okay, because this is one of those things. I hardly ever get through a message anyway now. It's typically many sermons. I may only get to one thought today, but if I do, that's okay. We have been studying through the book of 2 Timothy together. That's our New Testament book. And we're coming back to this study on this book. And we've come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. This is some of the most familiar verses, really, in the Word of God when it comes to the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I want to preach to you this morning on this topic. We may get through it, we may not, but I'm preaching to you today on Paul's epitaph. Paul's epitaph. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, help us today. We love you this morning. Thank you for Brother Otis, his dear wife, for their precious children. Thank you for being able to get to know them a little bit better and fellowshipping with them and communing with them. And thank you for the sweet spirit that we have together. And I pray that you'll bless this time as we've opened your word. Help us, Lord, to be quiet in our heart and soul, and show us what you're saying in these verses. Help us not to add to it, take away from it, but simply preach the word of God faithfully. May thy will be done in our midst. Bind Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. In the opening five verses of this chapter, we've already considered the charge that Paul gave to the young pastor Timothy. Now, there's no doubt that Paul is burdened to challenge this young preacher in this entire book to stay the course until the Lord calls him home. If you will, the entire book, what Paul is doing, he's slowly passing the torch to this young preacher. Now, as we've come to these verses here, these next three verses in this chapter, 6, 7, and 8, these verses have been called, and I've adopted it as my title, Paul's Epitaph. You know, there are some of the these are some of the closing words of the Apostle Paul's life. He's nearing the end of his God-blessed life, and he knows it. Therefore, he's given here by God the opportunity to write his own epitaph. He's writing how he wants to be remembered. And this is how Paul is going to be remembered. And let me pause here before I get into the outline and ask you something. If you were to die today, how are you going to be remembered? I wonder if you drop dead right now, just like you are, what will people remember about you? Can they say the same thing about you that Paul said about himself? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, Paul is giving Timothy his own epitaph. He's giving his closing comments concerning his life that he wanted young Timothy to learn from. Now, if you'll notice with me in verse 6, he starts talking about the present, what's happening right now. In verse 7, he talks about the past. Verse 8, he talks about the future. Now, as we consider these thoughts about the Apostle Paul, we can all learn some great lessons. We're going to give you one thought from verse 6, one thought from verse 7, one thought from verse 8. First of all, in verse number 6, I want to talk to you about his perspective in death. Secondly, I want to talk to you about verse 7, his preparation in life. And thirdly, in verse 8, I want to talk to you about his prize in eternity. Now, I may not get to all three of those, but I wanted to give it to you so Otis can take it and preach it himself if he wants to. Number one, let's notice verse number 6, his perspective in death. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, folks, it's noteworthy here to bring out how earlier in the life of Paul and in his ministry, the Lord delivered him with an earthquake. If you remember, in Acts chapter 16, God shook the foundations of that place, and God did not allow him to be killed at that time. But now, the Lord chooses not to intervene. Now, folks, this is a great thought here that I'm trying to get across to you. The Apostle Paul was going to meet the death angel. This is a time that the Lord could have again, but he chose not to deliver him from death. However, in this verse, we see the challenging perspective that Paul had while he was facing death. We can all be challenged with this perspective. Now, what I'm talking about here is this. The Apostle Paul was delivered from death earlier, but God chooses not to deliver him from death now. Folks, listen to me. If the Lord tarries his coming, if he does not come, he's coming, but I'm saying if he tarries his coming long enough. By the way, let me go ahead and say this about what happened this weekend. Have y'all were made aware of the end time that happened at 6 o'clock yesterday evening? Can I say something to you? It's time we just simply believe the Word of God, folks. The Bible has said no man knows, but now let me say this to you. He could come today. He really could. But what people do when they do stuff like that, they make us all look like a bunch of morons. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I'm telling you something here. Jesus Christ could come today. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be great just to go ahead and go to heaven from right here? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ. But if he tarries his coming, you are going to meet the death angel. God may not intervene all the time to deliver you from death. But I want to ask you this question. How do you look at death? What's your perspective? In this verse, Paul knows he is just days, if you will, moments, hours. He's not sure, but he knows it's close. He's getting ready to die. But how does he look at it? What's his perspective? Now, this man had been treated badly. Remember, he's in that Mamertine prison. He's been treated badly. He's been unjustly judged by the world. He's being sent to the chopping block for his faith in Christ. He could have been grumbling at this time. He could have been bitter at this time. He could have been complaining about it at this time. But his perspective is something that all of God's children can learn from. He doesn't look at it and say, oh, poor me. I don't deserve this. Somebody come help me. He doesn't say that. He's not even trying to be delivered from death. But he makes a couple of statements that shows his perspective. First of all, under this, we see his perspective in death was that he looked at it as an offering to God. Notice what he says right here. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. If you study that word, it's the idea of pouring out a drink offering on the altar. Now stay with me here. He knew his life was coming to an end. He knew his blood was going to be shed. But instead of approaching death with himself in mind, he looked at his death as an offering being made before God in thanksgiving to his goodness to him. He looked at his death as a drink offering that's being slowly poured out in thanksgiving to how God was the sacrifice for his life and his ministry. I'm telling you, he looked at death as an offering. By the way, he looked at his life the same way. Let me tell you how you can look at death as an offering. You live your life as an offering. Because even Paul said in Romans 12:1, remember? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want to ask you a question. If you knew that you were going to die in a matter of days, if you were given the opportunity to understand, I'm dying. Now, folks, we're all dying. You understand that. We're not getting closer to life. We're getting closer to eternal life. But I'm talking about physical life. We're not getting closer to life. We're getting closer to death. We are all dying. But every now and then, an individual is given the opportunity by God to know that their days are few. They know they're dying. And I wonder if God gives you that, and you knew that in a matter of days you were going to die, how would you look at it? Would you be sitting back saying, oh, poor me. Oh, this is terrible. Me, my, oh, my. No. You know what we learn from Paul? Life is given by God. Live it for him. Death is also something he said is coming to all, so die for him at the same time. His perspective in death, number one, was that he saw it as an offering to God. Secondly, he saw it as a departure. Boy, this is a powerful word. He says in verse number 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Boy, I love this word. You know, old Brother Kaiser, I miss him. Can our church tell that I miss Mr. Kaiser? He's with the Lord. We're going to be honoring his memory next week and his dear wife. He taught us in Greek class how to do a word study, how to prepare an entire message on one word. Now, I didn't do it here, but this is one of those words that you could prepare an entire message on. It's a powerful word. As a matter of fact, it's a farmer's word. Now, listen to this, please. Just let this sink in just a little bit. It's a farmer's word which carries the idea of unyoking the oxen after a hard day's work. It's a warrior's word which carries the idea of taking up the tent pegs, folding up the tent, and going home. Now stay with me here. This is a great word. It's a seaman's word. It carries the idea of pulling up anchor and setting sail. I'm telling you, these are blessing my heart right here, folks. It's a prisoner's word, which means to be set free or to be released. Now keep in mind, he's sitting in a prison. And he's saying, my departure is at hand. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm being ready to be set free. I'm getting ready to be unbound. It's a philosopher's word. You know what that word means? It means to unravel a knotty problem. You know what life's made of? Knotty problems. Boy, that's a knotty problem right there. Boy, that problem's full of knots everywhere. You know what this word departure means? It means all the knots are getting ready to be unraveled. Powerful word here, folks. He's looking at his death with the perspective of an offering and a departure, showing that he's getting ready to lift anchor and set sail. He's being ready to be set free and released from bondage. He's being ready to have his knotty problems unraveled. He's being ready to unyoke his oxen after a hard day's work. He's getting ready to take his pegs up and start heading towards home. This is his perspective. Now, I'm telling you, it makes me a little anxious not to die. It's like old preacher Lashley says. He says, I'm ready to go to heaven, just not on the next busload, if you understand. It's not that I'm anxious to die, but I'm going to be honest with you. When you hear a saint of God with this perspective about death, that listen, this is something that's going to please God. God's going to smile at this. He sees my death as a drink offering being poured out upon the altar in thanksgiving to him. This death is not something that's going to bind me. It's going to set me free. My hard work is over. I'm going home. I'm pulling up anchor. I'm going to see Jesus. When you start hearing this man and his heart come shining through, it starts making you say, man, I want to go too. Man, I want to just go. I want to get out of this place. I don't know if you feel that way, but I do. I'm telling you, his perspective is wonderful. Philippians 1, 21 to 23. What did he say? He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He also said, this is all Paul here, 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, folks, this is as far as I'm going to get. Aren't you glad? Have y'all want me to bring Otis back again next week? Would you raise your hand? If you raise your hand, you're out of this church. Get out. No, I'm just kidding with you. I don't want to go any further here because this is something here that we'll just pick up here tonight. But I want to make this statement. It is noteworthy to bring out here in verse number 6, before we even get to verse number 7, notice what he says. He says, I'm now ready to be offered in the time of my departure's hand. He sees his death as an offering and a departure. But how I want to go into the invitation is this. Notice the little word, ready. For I am now ready for my departure. Let me ask you this question. Do you know that your departure is not going to happen today? Do you know with the surety that you're going to be here tomorrow? Don't think humanly, think biblically. God said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. David said, there's a step between me and death. The only thing keeping your body alive is God. God is allowing your heart to pump. He's allowing your veins to be clear, so there's nothing obstructing the blood flow. Every time your heart beats, God is saying, grace, 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 grace. You are not promised one heartbeat in this life. I'm leaving you with this thought. We're noticing his perspective in death. He's pouring it out as a drink offering. It's a departure. He's pulling up pegs and going home. He's getting ready to see Jesus. And he said, I want you to know something, young man. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready if God calls your name next? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that if you died and your departure is coming next, do you know without a doubt that you're going home to heaven. If you do, that's a wonderful thing. In your heart, you ought to say, I'm glad I'm ready for that. But I want to ask you this question, Christian. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit because, see, all these verses go together. It's kind of unfair for me to ask you this question without sharing the next verse with you. But why was Paul ready? I'm simply going to make this statement. I'm going to preach on it tonight, God willing, God helping me. But the reason he could say I'm ready in verse 6 is because he prepared in verse 7. See, his perspective in death was brought out because of his preparation in life in verse 7. Let me tell you why he could say I'm ready. Because he said, I have fought the good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm going to share with you what he's talking about tonight. But I'm asking you something, Christian. Are you preparing in life so you can have the right perspective in death? Do you understand what I'm teaching you this morning? It's so simple, it's ridiculous. I was telling my wife this week, I was telling her, I said, Becky, I said, I'm praying that God help me to be the simplest preacher I can possibly be. You know what some preachers try to do? I don't have anybody in mind, but you know what some preachers try to do? They try to wow you with their intellectual knowledge. Oh, let me just show you this right here. Can I say something? Hogwash. You know what God wants you to do? If it says jump, tell them to jump. Don't tell them what it takes to jump. Just say jump. God wants you to be simple. God is not simple by any stretch, but he's made it simple for you and I. Aren't you glad it's a simple plan of salvation? It's a simple plan. It's a simple life. What is it? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Paul is saying, I'm getting ready to die, boy. I'm trying to pass the torch to you. I want Christianity to go on. I want your church to flourish. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to be offered. And I'm telling you that when I look at death, I'm not ashamed. I'm not trying to get out of it. I want you to know that what's getting ready to happen to me when they take me to the chopping block and they sever my head from my body, it is a drink offering being poured out to God. I'm just thanking God for his goodness in my life. And I want you to know something, young man. I'm gone when that happens. I'm departing from this place. I'm pulling up pegs. I'm going home. I'm pulling up anchor. I'm setting sail towards that heavenly horizon. I wonder, can you approach death with that same confidence? He's confident here, folks. He knows where he's going. And he knows that he's lived the life as a Christian that God would be pleased with. That's a great way to live, isn't it? By the way, you've never learned to die until you first learn how to live. And if you want to die right, live right. Amen. And may the Lord help us to understand Paul's perspective in death. Tonight, God willing, we'll look at his preparation in life, his prize in eternity. May the Lord help us. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you today. Thank you for this time. We thank you for Brother Otis, his dear wife, the great singing today, the anointed testimony that you used. And I pray for this time, Lord, as we've come to this time where we've just started on this message of Paul's epitaph. What was it? It was that he had the right perspective in death. He looked at it as an offering, and he looked at it as a departure. Father, help me to guide this invitation. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you this question this morning. The Apostle Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you really ready to meet Jesus? Has there been a time in your life when you have understood that you were a sinner, that Jesus died for you, he was buried and rose again, Has there been a time in your life where you have accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you really know that you're born again? Do you really know that you're saved? Is there one today? Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. How many of you all know that for as far as salvation is concerned, I'm talking about whether you're saved or not saved, as far as salvation is concerned, you are ready. You have trusted Christ. You know that, no doubt. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? You know that you're saved. God bless you. Thank you. Is there one today, say, Jody, would you pray for me? I cannot raise my hand saying I am ready in the area of salvation. Maybe there's somebody that says, Jody, I want to be. I'm not ready, but I want to be. I'd like to know I'm saved. Is there one like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how we can proceed with our invitation. If you say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not ready because I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Put your hand up big and high. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? If you raise your hand at that, I'd like you to look right up here at me if you wouldn't mind to do that. I want you to know something. There was a time in my life when I had to raise my hand. And all the people who raised their hand a minute ago saying they're saved, there was a time in their life when they couldn't raise their hand either. You understand what I'm saying to you? You're not alone. See, in other words, the devil, I know how he works. There's a decent crowd here, and he'll try to say, ah, there's too many people. What are they going to think about you? Can I say something to you? All we who raise our hand saying that we're saved, we will rejoice with you when you trust Christ. Am I making any sense to you what I'm saying? I hope I am. Obviously you know the individual sitting beside you, and they're looking as well. You made the same decision. Praise the Lord. What I want to do in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to open the invitation. There may be some that need to come and join the church. There may be some that need to come and say, God, I'm a Christian, but I'm not ready to meet you. And I'm going to ask both of you. I'm begging you to do that. I can't force you, but I'm begging you to do this because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And what I'd like to do is take a man, and they'll take a Bible, and we're going to take our time with you and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. I hope you'll come and let us do that. I really do. I really hope you'll do that. May God help you. Have you like to see this individual? If you'd like to see him come and you'd be happy about it and you'd rejoice in it, say a big amen. Would you do that? We're with you. I hope you'll come. May the Lord help you. God bless you. In just a moment. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But just like Paul said, I'm ready. I don't think I can say that. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I'm not fighting the good fight. I'm not keeping the faith. I'm not finishing my course. You say, Jody, pray for me. I want to get on the firing line. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? God help you. God help you. I want you to come. Join us here. We've got a great work to do, and God wants to help. Wants to use you to help us get it done. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, help us, bless, help these folks to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking but myself and Brother Gary. Right now, if God is speaking to you, step out of your place and come. Come right now, would you do that? Come on,
every soul
come on.
By sin
come on now.
Oppressed, there's mercy.
Now's your time, come on.
And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only
there's time for you. Come on.
Trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you.
Nathan.
He will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious
blood. Amen, there's still time for you.
Rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
They're playing through softly. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're going to take our time here, even if we dismiss. I don't want to rush anything. Can I say this to you? God wants to use you. Isn't that great? I'll be honest. I may embarrass him. I hope I don't embarrass him where he never comes back, but I appreciate my good buddy Bryant and his friend Ben here and his family. Bryant Wood. Played football together. He's a dear friend of mine. I'll give you one of my burdens, Bryant. I'd like to reach our buddies. You know? I'd like to reach them. God wants to use us. No doubt about it. This is serious business, wouldn't you agree? It's time we understand that we have a date with God. May the Lord help us to get busy. No doubt about that. Amen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brother Gary to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to do that because you need to get back there to the visitor center. Brother Joe Shaw, if you wouldn't mind to come up here to the platform, I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer. Folks, I'm asking you to do this for me. We're dealing with one here. As he says amen, quietly, please, quietly, just try to go out the doors. You can fellowship out in the lobby. I'm gonna have Brother Otis and his wife, if they wouldn't mind, it's when they get done here. I'm gonna have them to go out in the lobby so you can personally meet him. Is his stuff set up out there? His stuff is set up out there so you can go by and look at the national championship ring and his jerseys, his pictures and things like that. And once they get through here, that is completely up to them. They'll come out there and let you greet them. Okay? Hope you'll be back tonight. Pre-service prayer meeting at 6. Service at 6:30. May the Lord help us with this. Brother Joe, you go ahead, sir.
Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be here in this church today, Lord. God, we can come and hear the gospel preached, Lord. And God, the word of God shared, Lord, so that people in our midst, Lord, can not only be encouraged, but those that are here maybe for the first time or, Lord, have not heard the gospel, Lord, can hear it and know how to be saved and see you in heaven one day. Just thank you so much for loving us, for giving your life for us, providing us a home in heaven, Lord, and God, a way that we can live and look for your coming. I pray that you continue to bless our church and our pastor, Lord, that we might continue to spread the gospel around and reach the lost folks in our midst. Bless our return tonight now, Lord, continue to bless our church. It might be a lighthouse in the community, Lord, for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.